I'm looking at being trapped today. And I wonder if you feel at this moment in time that you're trapped in one way or another. Trapped by your circumstances, perhaps. I'm looking at someone who spent some time in prison. And I'm just thinking about the different kinds of prison. I know it's something that I've spoken of before, the different kinds of prison. This morning I want us to look in Acts chapter 12. Famous passage of scripture about Peter and a miraculous escape from his particular prison. How many times have you said, if only I could change? I'll leave the dotted lines on there. Perhaps, if only I could change him or her. If only I could change something about myself. If only I could change my circumstances. One of the expressions I used to absolutely detest when I used to be a buyer or when I was involved in the private sector was somebody coming up to me and says, Brian, we are where we are. I hated that. Because as a buyer, I used to be very judgmental about why we were in where we were. But nevertheless, the wisdom of the time was to say, look, we are where we are. We can't change. But what we have to do now is move forward in where we are. Let's look at Acts 12. Because we do see a miraculous change take place. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. Moving down. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of the street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. You're out of your mind, they told her. When she kept insisting it was so, they said, it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the brothers about this, he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Trapped by your circumstances, if only I could change my circumstances, if only I could get out of my particular prison. You are where you are. Peter was where he was. Last week, we looked at the three friends of Daniel, who could not choose their circumstances. They were where they were, facing trial, trial by a fiery furnace. They chose that time to declare that God, the God that they were serving, was the true God, the only God, the God able to deliver them. But they trusted and still declared that he was to be honoured even if he chose not to spare them. That's what they declared. That's where they were in the midst of that difficult circumstance. Now, for many people listening to the three friends of Daniel, they might have thought them to be quite naive. And we can be subject to the cynical voices around us today, can't we, when it comes to faith and the issue of declaring who God is and what God can do. Some people use the expression, wake up and smell the coffee. Well, on holiday last year, I woke up and heard the coffee rather than smell it, because we heard Ian Coffey, didn't we, speak that first week. And Ian Coffey says this from his book Postcards from the Edge: the place of faith is the place between our naivety and our cynicism. So here we are, on the one side here, I'm naive. Over the other side, I'm a cynic, doubtful of everything. And faith is here, in the middle. You see, the friends of Daniel said, we can get delivered. God's great enough to do this, he's the one true God. But even if he doesn't, we will still honour him. Peter was asleep in the prison. Was that a naive place to be? Was that a place where he'd given up? Or was there something else happening? We need faith, as Ian Coffey says, for both the mystery and the miraculous of life. The mystery and the miraculous. We need faith for what we see, and we need faith for the expectation of what we expect to see too. Because, as we read here in Acts, James was executed by the sword, by Herod, and Peter was delivered. There is those that are delivered, and those that are not. Where does our faith leave us? Is it to say, whatever happens, God is God, and God can, but what God does, God does, and I have confidence in him. A couple of weeks ago we sang, and now let the weak say I am strong, the poor say I am rich. Because of what? Because of what the Lord has done, not what I've done, not what man's going to do. The present deliverance of Jesus Christ is something that you and I can know today. We have remembered the deliverance of Jesus Christ already. We have peace that should pass all our understanding of what we can experience around us. Like Peter does here in this story from Acts, we can rest. Even though Peter was chained between these two guards, there were centuries outside the cell, Peter was at rest. And we can rest despite whatever the judgment of man is. We can rest because we trust in God, and his refuge is supreme. We said earlier on, we read, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The church were in prayer mode for Peter. Peter was woke up, led out of his prison cell by an angel. The Spirit moved Peter, and he got up, and he went. And that, to me, speaks about being in a restful place, but when the Spirit speaks, we are to rise up if we are called, and we are to act when we are told to do so. And that involves being somebody that has discernment of what the Spirit is saying to us, because the Spirit is truth. Peter wasn't quite sure in this story whether he was dreaming this. And it was only after the Spirit left him that the reality of his situation was brought home. Here he was. He was free. He was in his right mind. He was clothed. And he could walk away from those chains that were around him. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas are two disciples who were beaten, and then they were put in stocks, and they were put in prison. There's a pattern here, isn't there? If we can take the people of God and chain them up, constrain them in such a way that they can't worship God, that they can't speak about God, surely we will have the final victory, thought the people who were in the judgment seats at this time. But yet, even though they were constrained, Paul and Silas, in Acts 16, you read that they were praying. They were worshipping, even though they were confined in a prison cell. It's great to be able to worship in freedom and in a free country, isn't it? We enjoy that. But how would your worship life be if you were constrained by the cell of a prison? It says that Paul and Silas were singing spiritual songs with gratitude in their hearts to God. Well, what happened? They were powerfully delivered. You may never be able to choose your circumstance. Very rare that you can, if you're honest. But you can choose your attitude, as Paul shows us here, and Silas and Peter shows us. We can choose our attitude. Ian Coffey says in his book, you can be a prisoner in life. You can be confined by what life has done to you, what life might do to you, what people are thinking and saying about you, what people have done to you. You can be a passenger in life. You just simply go along for the ride, just pull everything in that you enjoy and look at, and don't really get involved. You're a passenger in life. You can be a protester, and we know that there are people that are great protesters, demonstrating, shouting about how bad everything are. You know, if you've got Facebook, you'll see that there'll be people on there that are telling you how bad society is at the moment. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? What's going off here? Everything's gone mad. The doctors only the other week, weren't they? They were protesting, the young doctors. And we know that in life you can choose your attitude to be someone who protests about everything. It's not fair. Or, finally, you can be a participant. And he was speaking there about someone who chooses their attitude to be one of getting involved. One of getting involved in life. I know lots of participants in life who are a great blessing and have been a great blessing. I wonder at their energy, how they can be a participant still, how they could be a participant when other things were happening. And yet they were. And that's a great testimony. And yet they are. And that's a wonderful blessing for the church. God does not look upon your affliction or my affliction as he would have looked upon Peter's and Paul and Silas's and despised them for where they were. Don't ever think that you're despised for where you are suffering. The Lord who loved me enough to lose all his glory and go to the cross, the one who gave up everything, now tells me in Philippians 2 to have that same attitude as Jesus Christ. You laid aside your majesty. You gave up everything for me. You suffered at the hands of those you had created. Today my prayer would be, Lord, show that same glory to the hearts of those in my family who do not love you, who do not know you. Show that same glory today, powerfully, to this society, in order that my family and my society may welcome you in and no longer have you as a stranger. But be careful. Be careful. It's not all plain sailing, is it, when we give our lives to the Lord? It wasn't all plain sailing here for Peter, was it? God never calls us to a place of love with him without seeking to do one thing. And it's a big thing. God never calls us into a place of love without seeking to try to change us. Are we a willing participant in that change? Are we a protester in that change? We can't be passengers in change. And we certainly can't be prisoners to change. There's too much of that, people feeling that they have to do something. They're constrained by what they have to do. We are people that have been blessed in order that we may bless others. We have to have faith to believe this. Blessed in order to bless. I said last week to those of you that were here that faith is about persevering in the darkness. Hold on to what you believed in the light. These prisons were dark places, weren't they? They weren't places of natural light. They were dark places. There's a man called Watchman Nee, who I read about this week. Chinese church leader, who when the time of communism came to power, he spent his last 20 years in a prison cell. He was persecuted for his faith because of what he believed. And he said, it's when we have been put in a position where we would like to follow God fully that we find the light is a necessary thing in the Christian life. For Watchman Nee, that position he was put in was prison. The place where he could see the full light was in that place of perceived darkness and constraint. And light is necessary for our Christian lives. We must have light. The light of life must be the light that rules over the darkness. John's Gospel says in its opening chapter, Jesus was light, in him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. We must have Jesus' light. We sing a song sometimes, Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heaven. You know the one, don't you? It's got quite a dynamic beat to it. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Now that's from Psalm 36. It's a tune being put to the words of Psalm 36. And in verse 9, amongst those words of blessing, it says, In your light we see light. In your light we see light. We have two lights that are mentioned here. Your light and we see light. The first light is an objective light, the light of God. The second light is a more subjective one, where we start to see the need to change. We start to be able to receive. We start to be able to be shaped by the Lord, and we change. By simply looking in at Peter today, we would have seen a rather hopeless condition of a man chained between two guards. And sometimes, you know, looking in to ourselves sometimes, we feel quite hopeless. we feel a bit confined, don't we? We don't have chains on us, physical chains. We don't have people posted around us, and yet we feel hopeless. We feel that there is a lack of clarity. There's a lack of enlightenment, because our feelings have taken the prior place. We start to become analytical, analysing things. And that's our light. But the light of God dispels that. It brings us to a knowledge of who we are. It gives us a hope, rather than being hopeless people, which makes a difference. We have something that I believe is divine light, the light of God. And when that light comes, so does the way of escape. The way of escape from the patterns of behaviour that have chained us down. So does the negative thoughts that have held us in stocks. And every knowledge of ourself comes through the divine light of God. I might be blessed with a great power of judgment, I'm not. You might be blessed with a keen power of self-judgment, but it will never arrive at the same conclusion as the flash of light that God brings. The light from God brings a reality to your life and mine that self-knowledge doesn't. It would be fair to say that there are many people that have no mind for the things of God. There may be many Christians that have no mind for the things of God. The things of God do not really matter in their lives. So there is no danger of them ever looking inwards and being introspective. They don't really mind where they're going, what they're doing, and they certainly don't have any thought for the will of God. And yet we know that to glorify God is to obey Him unconditionally. But for those who are really out to serve God, it's a great danger being self-reflecting. Let me explain what I mean by that. I might want to please God, and in order for that to happen, I have to know my own limitations. One thing that knowing God does is it starts you to understand who you are. To know God's mind starts you to realise that you can't and He can. You start to look at what is of Him and what is not of Him. Is what is coming out of me from Him or from myself? And it's a great temptation in order to try to be more like God, to be closer to Him, to start to look within. But we have to avoid a deception that the enemy places of looking inwards. We have to look up and look to the light of God, the true God, the one that the friends of Daniel could say was the true God that can deliver. I can't know myself as much as He knows me. You, O Lord, know me better than I know myself. So, as the Lord would desire, so we ask now, as individuals, to be searched, to be shown where there are things that are wrong. And if that light of God does not show anything to you, don't worry about that. If the light of God does not bring anything up in your life, don't worry about that. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is what we all rest upon. Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And that may mean that there's stuff still that we don't know about. There may be things that need dealing with, but God as yet has not shown us what those things are. Yeah, they may need dealing with at some point, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. When the light condemns, the blood will cleanse. When the light condemns, the blood will cleanse. Rest in the blood of Jesus. We've remembered that this morning, haven't we? I just want to finish with these words. Lord, you've set me free from sin, and now I'm a slave to you and not to the world and not to myself. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Romans 6 verses 22 and 23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we look at our own lives, you know what we see there. I pray, Father, that we would see your light shining in. Thank you for the hope that you have given us when we have felt hopeless. Thank you for reminding us today that your love is a true, steadfast love that we can rely upon. Thank you, Lord, also for revealing to us that there have been those times of difficult circumstances that have been experienced by those in your word. Times that seem completely hopeless. Times where restriction of the world, restriction of man's judgment comes in. And yet, in those times, you are faithful. And in those times, you deliver. As you delivered Peter and Paul and Silas, we thank you, Father, that in their hearts they were at peace, or they were worshipping. They were earnestly seeking you. And we thank you, Father, for the fellowship that we're praying. We thank you, Father, that you do not discount the prayers of your people to change circumstances, and you answer those prayers in your time. Lord, may we look to you. May we seek to serve you and be obedient to you and allow you to take the full control, that your light would shine in every area of our lives in order that you would be glorified and that we will live for you. This day, Father, help us to remember what love is, and help us and remind us that you are with us, ever changing us to bring us more and more into your glorious person and presence. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.